Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Alent Limited's Q4 FY26 and FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management's opening remarks. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Naveen Agrawal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of Alent Limited and SKP Securities to this financial results conference call. We have with us Mr. Rohit Deepak Jalan, Whole-time Director, Mr. N. K. Dujari, Director of Finance and CFO, and Mr. Sanjeev Sancheti from Uirtus Advisors LLP, the company's IR advisor. We'll have the opening remarks by the management, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Sanjeev.
Thank you, Naveen. Good afternoon to all the participants. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Rohit Jalan for the opening remarks, I would like to draw your attention to the safe harbor statement in the earnings presentation. I request each one of you to kindly go through the presentation either now or before the Q&A starts so that you are well aware of the same. Request you go through the safe harbor statement very carefully. Over to you, Mr. Jalan.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for Alent Limited's Quarter 4 FY26 investor call. During the financial year 2026, we continue to make steady progress across our strategic initiatives while maintaining a disciplined focus on strengthening our business fundamentals. Our operating income for the year stood at 543 crores, broadly stable year-on-year. For Quarter 4 FY26, our operating income stood at 137.67 crores, reflecting a decline of 10.6% compared to the corresponding quarter last year. Performance during the quarter was impacted by two key factors. Firstly, our corporate or institutional sales moderated due to a high base effect, as the segment had contributed meaningfully in both Quarter 4 and Quarter 1 of the previous year. Corporate orders are typically large purchases driven by clients' gifting requirements or promotional requirements, which can vary significantly based on their preferences and priorities in any given year. Since clients may choose different gifting options across years, these orders do not follow a predictable annual pattern. Secondly, export revenues were impacted by the prevailing geopolitical environment, which weighed on demand across certain international markets. This also weighed on Pantonic sales, given that some of these affected export markets were predominantly Pantonic-driven. Operating EBITDA for FY26 stood at 59.49 crores, with a margin of 11%, reflecting a decline of 89 basis points over the previous year. For Quarter 4, the operating EBITDA stood at 17.78 crores, with a margin of 12.9%, representing an improvement of 41 basis points year-on-year. Quarter 1 FY27 is expected to reflect the trend seen in Quarter 4 FY26. So, corporate gifting orders, which typically span over Quarter 4 and Quarter 1, have been muted this year and will accordingly have a bearing on Quarter 1 FY27 revenues also. Similarly, export demand in certain markets continues to be affected by the prevailing geopolitical environment. Both these factors are specific to the current cycle, and do not reflect the underlying trajectory of the business. Polymer prices, our principal raw material, have also risen due to supply-side disruptions, and given competitive dynamics, immediate full pass-through in pricing may not be feasible. We are navigating these conditions through disciplined cost management and expect them to progressively ease over the course of the year. Our innovation pipeline remains active, and we continue to invest in brand relevance, distribution reach, and category expansion. These investments, coupled with ongoing efforts to enhance operational efficiency, are expected to support sustainable growth over the medium term. On the strategic front, our international initiatives and joint ventures are progressing steadily at different stages of maturity. The joint venture with Mitsubishi Pencil Company Japan, operations remain stable, and the recently launched product has received encouraging response from the market. The joint venture with our Turkish partner, operations have commenced successfully, they remain stable, and have a gradual transition towards automation. The order pipeline remains encouraging. Lynx board has approved a further investment of $250,000 with a matching contribution from the JV. Excuse me. Sorry for my bad throat. So Lynx board has approved a further investment of $250,000 with a matching contribution from the JV partner, maintaining the existing shareholding structure. Subsidiary with Morris, progress remains linked to our upcoming West Bengal manufacturing facility, which is expected to become operational by quarter 3 FY27. We expect meaningful traction in this business following the commissioning of the facility. Kenya subsidiary sales momentum has started to improve, and we expect this positive trajectory to strengthen further in the coming period. Link on subsidiary, operations have commenced and the business is expected to gain meaningful traction from this financial year. While the ramp up across certain initiatives have taken longer than initially anticipated, we believe the foundation being built is both deliberate and necessary. The benefits of an improved product mix, operational efficiencies, and strategic partnerships are expected to become increasingly visible as volumes scale and these investments mature. To reward our shareholders and reinforce our commitment to value creation, the board has approved a dividend of ₹1.5 per share, same as last year, implying a payout ratio of around 27% on consolidated profit, subject to shareholder approval. Despite near-term challenges, we remain confident in the long-term value creation potential of our strategy. We believe the actions undertaken over the past few quarters has strengthened our platform for growth and position Link Limited to deliver stronger and more sustainable performance as our strategic initiatives mature and begin to contribute more meaningfully. With that, I will now hand over to Mr. Dujari for the financial update.
Thank you, Mr. Jalan, and good afternoon, everyone. As Mr. Jalan has already taken you through our revenue and EBITDA performance, I will focus on the remaining element of our financial performance. For FY26, PAT stood at 3274 lakhs, translating into a PAT margin of 5.9%. On a quarterly basis, PAT for Q4 FY26 came in at 1046 lakhs with a margin of 7.5%. Our balance sheet remained strong throughout the year with a net cash position of 686 lakhs as on 31st March 2026. Reflecting continued financial discipline, net debt to operating EBITDA stood at 0.12x negative, while ROC and ROE stood at 18.7 and 13.3 respectively. Asset productivity remained healthy with fixed asset turnover at around 4x, indicating efficient utilization of asset base. Our cash conversion cycle stands at 64 days. As Mr. Jalan mentioned earlier, the external operating environment continues to remain dynamic. Geopolitical developments and evolving global trade conditions can influence demand patterns, export market, and supply chain dynamics. Given the current uncertainties, we believe it would be prudent to await another quarter to gain better visibility before providing formal guidance on our outlook for the year, for the year FY27. We remain focused on maintaining financial discipline while executing our long-term growth initiatives. With that, now I open the floor for question and answers.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Each participant is requested to limit himself or herself to a maximum of 2 questions. Time permitting, we shall revert for any further questions that you may have that remain unanswered. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and 1 on the touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Bugle Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please proceed.
So my question is, on the call once you had said that you want to become a Colgate of pen. So becoming Colgate where Colgate is today is very difficult. But I am with you on this journey. But as we know, the Colgate has cracked the distribution and many other things. So what steps have you taken in the past or also your future plans to achieve our target?
Hi, Vikram. Rohit here. So that's, a strong statement, and we actually use a lot of, examples internally of, successful, distribution companies who've led growth by, distribution, and we draw a lot of, inspiration and motivation. Having said that, we still strongly, believe and we wish to, achieve that kind of, distribution. Lately, since last, one or two, quarters, we have started a lot of new, initiatives towards, distribution. And if we look at, our GT channel growth, so if we look at our April performance in GT channel has, shown a double-digit growth actually. And I am, sure that some of these initiatives that we have taken in last one or two quarters have resulted in this kind of a performance. So, I see that a lot of, improvement in distribution is expected in the coming, quarters. Definitely in the, GT channel. Some initiatives like, one we did mention was, some of our peers, One strategy and initiative we took was we actually split our sales people into two verticals in the GT channel. So earlier we had a single sales team who were selling the entire portfolio of Link, Pentonic, Uni, Delhi, Morris. Now what we have done is we have split our sales team into two verticals. So we have one vertical which is focused on more mass distribution and the second vertical which are focused on more premium brands like Uni and Delhi, which is focused towards urban distribution. So this has been, one initiative, and we have actually added about 125, frontline sales team to our team, sales team strength. And these are, starting numbers to show, results. And this was actually put into effect from April 2026.
Okay. So just a follow-up on this one. Wanted to ask on the throughput per retailer, how are we managing that? And have we tried to increase that? Because what I see of the competitors, let's say Dom, it is pretty higher than us. Is it because we operate in a direct distributor model or the competition goes with a super stockist model? So could you please explain me that? Because even we operate in a super stockist model in state like Bihar, Jharkhand. So could you please explain me how are we increasing our throughput per retailer?
So actually Bihar and Jharkhand are our own depots and we operate with direct distributor models in Bihar and Jharkhand. Whereas rest of India, our distribution model is pretty much similar to the peers.
Yeah.
So we have what? Super stock here, which the company warehouses or depots supply to. They supply to the dealers and distributors who eventually supply to the retailers. So this is, the model which is majorly practiced in our category.
Yeah, but the question was how are we increasing the throughput per retailer? Like how can we increase our sales with the number of retailers we are? Yeah.
So absolutely. So, with the splitting of the sales team, this throughput is bound to increase. Because, what happens is, when a salesperson is going to a retailer and he takes orders of, the top sellers or maybe some of the new launches, after his list is, crossed, 10, 15 products, retailer says, bas ho gaya aaj ke liye. Theek hai? But when we have the brand fitted between two teams and both are attacking the retailer, with their unique set of products and SKUs, so the throughput is bound to increase.
Okay. So my second question was, in one of the calls, you had mentioned that in terms of single product, there were larger brands, like there was Reynolds 45 and some other products of Cello also. But now Pentonic has taken over like in their position, like Pentonic is first or second in this category. So what is your thought process or what according to your sense, what mistakes did these Renaults or a Cello make so that we could capitalize on and we are now the number one or number two position?
I don't think it's really right to comment on what mistakes or wrong, steps they took. But I think generally what I would say is, to be ahead of the game for any company, they really need to be, proactive and progressive in terms of, new developments, in terms of, adapting to you know, changes in the environment with technology. So as long as you keep yourself, you know, ahead of that, or at least, you know, at par with that, you know, you can, you know, be in the race. So I think, you know, we have been done that and we continue to do that. Yeah, I mean, that's all I can comment on that.
Okay. So just one thing, wanted to know your thought process on a specific product on which, for example, you've done a lot of R&D, and for some reason the product does not work as you might have thought of, the product fails. So what I wanted to know, what could be the reasons it didn't work? Like, has it happened in the past? And what were the reasons that you have found out that this product did not work well?
I don't know. I mean, we did some, you know, new developments, you know, around 2013, 2014, 2015. We launched some products like Twin, which was pen with a pencil. If you see that, you know, journey, we were constantly trying to, you know, innovate. We launched a pen with a stylus called Link Touch. We launched a pen with a highlighter called Link Combi. But, you know, it's not, you know, necessary that all your, you know, developments will materialize and will, you know, succeed. But it's, you know, your efforts in constant innovation and, you know, something should, you know, definitely
work. Actually, you see that Pentonic was a success out of an innovation, right? So, it is not necessary that every innovation will result in a Pentonic kind of portfolio, but if you don't keep trying, you will never get the next Pentonic, right? So, and that's most important. Keep investing into innovation and new technology.
Yeah, because so my actually this question was more particularly related to the Pentonic 20 rupees and a Pentonic 40 rupees pen. So,
the Pentonic 20 rupees, 30 rupees, if we look at it, you know, these products were actually, you know, very well, you know, designed, are very well designed, but somehow we have not been able to, you know, manage selling the entire range. Earlier when we launched 20, 30, 40, you know, they were still selling Uniball products, which were, you know, kind of conflicting or overlapping with, you know, GRP, for example. So somehow it was, you know, outside the bandwidth of a, you know, single salesperson on the ground to sell that entire range. But with the divided focus, I think we should be able to, you know, definitely achieve that growth in these premium price points and segments.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'll get back to you.
Thank you, Vishal.
A reminder to all the participants that you may please press star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Himanshu Padhyay from Steadport Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. My question is related to exports business, okay? We have seen our currency depreciate quite materially, okay? Not just in US dollar, but even Chinese yuan and EU, okay? These are the major exporters also, or the currencies in which major exports, or the players who exports are there. Why would our exports should not benefit, and should not the outlook be much brighter than what we have just stated right now? Because the one thing is the currency has depreciated quite significantly, and we have been working on these markets for quite some time. or exports for the company as a whole. We are still a very small proportion of what we what India exports globally. So some thoughts on that, and how are we trying to benefit out of that currency depreciation, and it has been happening for now more than 1 year.
Right. So Himanshu, I'd like to address that. firstly, in terms of currency depreciation, right? What happens is, if you see, our pentonic pricing that we do in export markets, and actually even for Link and for some of the countries, we do a strategic pricing where we actually try to determine, an end user price, just like we have an MRP in India, and then we back calculate, and then we try to, give that confidence to our partners that if our if we need to really maintain that kind of a value chain in that country, in that market, we need to have that kind of a transparency. So usually dollar is becoming stronger, and mostly if you look at most of the other currencies, including India, is weakening. So when we get an export, when we get a benefit from the foreign currency fluctuation, a portion of that has to be passed on to our customers, because if we don't do that, our pricing to the market in those countries increases. So a part of the benefit of the foreign exchange fluctuation, we do have to pass on as a support to our customers to maintain the pricing, or have a minimum impact on the pricing in those markets. Secondly, if we look at the export market performance, our quarter four was a degrowth because of the prevailing situation in the Middle East, as we all know. So quarter four definitely saw a degrowth. If we look at, so quarter four was almost a 25% degrowth year on year. A lot of our exports to the Middle East and Eastern Africa was affected because of this situation, and some of the containers, they still remain in our warehouse even today, and yet to be shipped for those countries. If I talk about a slightly longer period and a long term impact on exports, every year we actually we've been facing situations in some of the other countries, looking at tariffs from US last year. Before that, if you look at Russia used to be one of our big markets. So when the Russia war started, our Russia market got affected. Sudan, there were geopolitical issues in Sudan. There was Myanmar in 1 or 2 years. Myanmar was affected. So actually, unfortunately, every year there has been some or the other issue. This year if you look at it's now the Middle East war, which has also actually affected our business. So if we actually look at the peak of each and every country that we have exported to and the peak we have reached, probably our export, if we try and achieve that in a single year and there are no disturbances in the international boundaries, we would be at a 30-40% higher number than what we are today. So anyway, you know, it's, you know, a risk and we're trying to manage that, trying to focus on more stable countries, stable economies. For example, Indonesia is one of our markets which has been, you know, vacant for a very long time, and we opened, we started exporting to Indonesia just, you know, last year. So over a period of time, we are expecting, and Indonesia has a, you know, lot of, you know, potential. And yes, we've been looking at, you know, very stable, you know, markets where we can actually continue to grow, because, you know, in this Middle East and, you know, Soviet Union countries, you know, this geography, and even some parts of, you know, Africa or, you know, Southeast Asia, we regularly see disturbances. And, you know, that's one way how we are planning to manage our, you know, risk of, you know, export business.
No, I agree on the local issues. So my question was on this part that if you look at rupee, okay, it has depreciated around 15% in US dollar, again yuan, and again euro also from 19.5 rupees to 111 rupees. Okay. So all the three major currencies and the major exporters, okay, we have depreciated our currency, or the currency has, so we should not really be benefiting out of that, because all competitors' currencies have appreciated for against city, and our primary manufacturing is in India. So that was the point.
I'll just take that. So while you are right in saying that if the rupee depreciates, the exports benefits, either you pass on the benefits and try to increase the market share, or you increase your margins. One of the two will happen, right? But the overall geopolitical situation has far outweighed the benefits of the rupee depreciation. If everything was constant, obviously this would have been a more beneficial situation. Yeah, and even the raw materials have increased, because we have a significant raw materials which are imported. So it's not that we are in a situation where the margin will increase even if the market share doesn't increase. So I think in the present, and especially in the last couple of quarters, I think the key reason for this has been the geopolitical situation. It has far outweighed any benefit the currency appreciation would have. And our export is a smaller percentage of our total revenue, but our imports are probably significantly, I mean, in that sense, it was hedging us to that extent. So I think we will have to wait out to see, once the geopolitical situations are stabilized, how we are able to grow the export business. What number of, how we can expand the number of countries so that risk from disruption in a particular country can be balanced through growth in other countries.
And one more question. I think one previous participant asked about 20 rupees and 30 rupees pentonic. Okay. And what is the future now? Means, what are we thinking about those products, and how do we take those products? Because they were well designed, it seemed there was a vacancy in the market where we could fulfill the gap. And some of those challenges will even come up with new products which will be coming from the JV part, or the new manufacturing facilities which are around 30, 40 rupees and 50 rupees price point. The Uniball venture, okay. So, how are we going to overcome those challenges? And about the products what we had in Pentonic, what is the future now for those products which are at those price points? And do we want, are we thinking about putting new products further into the Pentonic brand? And if not, then how do we refresh that brand and keep liveliness in that product? Counter or the brand counter.
Right. So, Himanshu, like I mentioned, you know, earlier, I'll even elaborate. So, you know, earlier the range actually, you know, was very big for a single salesperson. So they had to sell, you know, the Link, you know, top sellers. They had to sell the Pentonic top sellers, which were the 10 rupee product. They had to sell the Uniball top sellers. They had to sell the Delhi top sellers, right? And then they had the pressure on the new launches. So it was too big a range for a single salesperson to also, you know, focus on, you know, more, a bigger variety and a bigger range. I mean, range selling for us was actually quite poor once all these products, you know, used to get, you know, ticked off the order list by the salesperson. So, to elaborate on that, like I said, you know, splitting the team, you know, will, you know, really help. So they have a, you know, smaller product portfolio and they have now focused on, you know, the top sellers of two brands each of the salesperson. They have, you know, to focus on the top sellers of two brands. They have to focus on the new launches of two brands. They have to focus on, you know, another higher value products of two brands. So with that kind of focus, we are confident that this number, you know, should definitely grow and improve. And earlier it was, you know, too, the salesperson was under too much pressure and probably he was not able to deliver those numbers. And so we are definitely focusing on, you know, the premium price point, which is 20 rupee and above. You also mentioned about new developments. We have a couple of new developments in 20 rupees and above in the Pentonic, you know, portfolio. Probably one or two even in the, probably two or three of them we have planned for this year and a couple of more for next financial year. So we have new developments planned for this year, new launches planned for this year.
And any increase in sales team?
Sales team? Yeah, we increased our strength by 125 people.
And on what base?
On a base of 350 odd.
Thank you for my time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may please press star and one now. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jalan for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you for joining us today and for your continued interest in Link Limited. As we navigate an evolving global environment, we remain committed to building a stronger, more resilient business and creating sustainable long-term value for all stakeholders. Thank you.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.